We're thankful to be able to be here and thankful for the presence of each and every one of you. It's a privilege of mine to share the pulpit with these good brethren tonight. I know that so many of you are proud and they've worked hard and they did a good job in putting the material together and going over the material. And I know that if they'd ask you to give them your undivided attention, follow along with them as they present God's Word tonight. It's not easy getting up in front of an assembly like this and sharing the message of God's Word. And so I commend them for doing that. They've got the courage and the zeal and the backbone to get up and do what so many will not dare touch nowadays. And so I'm proud of them, and I know that you are too. The Bible has much to say about baptism. Most of us, if not all of us, are aware of that. In fact, if you were to look the word baptize up, including its variations like baptized and baptizing and baptize it, you'll find that it occurs at least over 80 times in the Bible. And so the Bible has a lot to say about it. In this simple lesson tonight, we want to talk about baptism stands between the sinner and these numerous things that these good men are going to talk with us about.
First point tonight is baptism stands between the sinner and a good conscience. Turn with me to Hebrews 10, verse 22. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Most people think nowadays, I have a good heart, I have faith, I show up on Sundays, I do good works, I must be a pretty good person. I have a good conscience. I feel good about myself. Turn with me at this time to Hebrews 9, verse 14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? We see in this verse that it doesn't matter what we think about our conscience. It's what God thinks about our conscience. And the only way our conscience is cleansed is not by good works or attendance, but not only that, but having been cleansed in the blood. So now we ask, how are we cleansed in His blood? How do we have a good conscience? Turn with me to 1 Peter 3, verse 21. There is also an antitype which now saves us, baptism, not the removal of filth of the flesh, but the answer of good conscience toward God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Baptism is the answer to a good conscience towards God. It doesn't matter what works you perform on earth that man deems good, if you don't have a good conscience towards God, then you're still lost in sin. Baptism stands between the sinner and a good conscience. Our second point tonight is baptism stands between the sinner and calling on the name of the Lord. Turn with me to Romans 10, verse 13. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. We've heard time after time, I just have to have faith and call on God's name and let Jesus into my heart and I'm saved. Is that what Paul thought? Is that what he did for 3 days while on the road to Damascus, waiting for Ananias to come to him? Would he have been saved if Ananias would have got to the door and Paul would have said, Ananias, you didn't have to come here. I called on the name of the Lord. I'm okay now. Would he have been saved? What was he commanded? Turn to Acts 22, verse 16. And now, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. This verse shows us that Calling on the name of the Lord doesn't occur until one has washed away their sins. And this is through baptism. Baptism stands between the sinner and calling on the name of the Lord.
Another thing that baptism separates the sinner from is the remission of sins. Turn with me to Matthew 26, verse 28. This verse says, "For this is the blood, my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." Now let's turn to Acts 2 and verse 38. Here we have Luke's account on the day of Pentecost. "And Peter said to them, 'Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.'" These two verses show us that without baptism, one cannot have the remission of sins.
Baptism also stands between the sinner and being in the body. Turn to 1 Corinthians 12:13. It reads, "For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free. We were all made to drink of one Spirit." So this shows that baptism is the act that puts us into the body of Christ. And turn to Ephesians 4, 4-6. This reads, "There is one body and one Spirit, just as also you are called into one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all." This shows that only one baptism can put you in the one body, which is the church. We can see that the body of Christ is the church by reading Colossians 1, verse 24. It says, "Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I do my share on behalf of his body, which is the church, in filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions." Because the one church is the body of Christ, we must be baptized to be in the one church, which would be the church of Christ, which can be found in Romans 16:16.
Along with baptism standing between the sinner and being in the body, it also stands between the sinner and a new life. Romans 6:4 says, "Therefore we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life." Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, a new things have come." So when we are baptized, we become a new creature, meaning we have to put off our old ways when we were in sin. Now we should be striving to be sinless and Christ-like. Baptism also stands between the sinner and being buried with Christ. Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 5. "Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection." Turn with me to Colossians 2, verse 12. "Having been buried with him in baptism, in which you are also raised up with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead." So to be buried with Christ, you have to be baptized. And when we are buried with him, the old man that we used to be is dead and done away with, so we may no longer be a slave to sin and have a chance for a home in heaven. This is So baptism stands between being buried with Christ, the sinner, and being buried with Christ.
The seventh thing that baptism separates the sinner from is being in Christ. Let's turn to Galatians 3:27. Here Paul wrote to the Galatians saying, "For as many of you were baptized into Christ, you have put on Christ." Now let's also turn over to Ephesians 1 and verse 3. Here Paul writing to the Ephesians says, "Blessed be the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." These two verses show that every spiritual blessing is in Christ, and it is baptism that puts one into Christ.
Baptism also stands between the sinner and obedience. Turn with me to Acts 10 and verse 48. This reads, "And he ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked him to stay on for a few days." Now this doesn't say, like the world says, that you're saved once you accept Jesus into your heart and that you can wait a few days to be baptized. In this verse, he plainly orders them to be baptized, to obey. Also turn with me to Revelation 22, and we'll read verse 14. "Blessed are those who wash their robes so that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter by the gates into the city." This verse is talking about being baptized. And our robes is our souls. And that the tree of life is heaven. And it says to wash your robes, which we use baptism to do that. Baptism also stands between the sinner and having their sins washed away. Turn with me to Acts 22. Let's read verse 16. "Now why do you delay? Get up and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on his name." It plainly says in this verse that after you are baptized, then your sins will be washed away. Turn with me to Revelation 1. We'll read verse 5. "And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loves us, released us from our sins by his blood." Now, in the Bible, it also states that his blood is the water in baptism is a symbol of his blood. And then that we can infer from this verse that his blood washes away our sins.
As we come to the close of what baptism separates a sinner from, I'd like to talk to you about salvation. Please turn with me to Mark 16:16. The Bible reads here, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." Also, again, turn with me to 1 Peter 3:21. The Bible says here, "The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ." As we can see here, the Bible clearly states that we can't be saved without baptism.
To each of those points, I say amen. Did a good job. Perhaps you're in this assembly night having never obeyed the gospel of Christ. You've heard it. Are you going to obey it? These good brethren just shared with you at least 10 things that baptism stands between the sinner and. So if you want these things that we've heard about tonight, then you need to arise and be baptized. Maybe you're in this audience having never done that, and you ask the question, what must I do in order to be saved? You have to do what they did in Bible days in order to become a Christian. That's to hear the gospel, Romans 10:17, believe it with all of your heart, John 8:24. Repent of your sins, Luke 13:3-5. Confess your faith in Christ that He is the Son of God, like the eunuch did in Acts 8:37. And be baptized in water for the remission of sins, Acts 2, and in verse 38. Maybe you have done that, but you've fallen away, turned your back on the Lord, and you want to come home, you want to start anew. Repent of your unfaithfulness, make confession unto God in prayer. We'll pray with you, and for you, don't delay. Come right now.